The stories featured in Greeking Out are original adaptations of classic Greek myths. This week's story features a man in love with his work, serious skill with marble, the blessings of a goddess, and some questionable themes. Plus, stay tuned at the end for an excerpt of Rick Riordan's new book, Daughter of the Deep.
Greeking Out, the greatest stories in history, were told in Greek mythology. Greeking Out, gods and heroes, amazing feats, listen and you'll see it's
If you've been listening to Greeking Out for a while now, you know that Greek mythology isn't all about monsters and battles and quests. Sure, there's plenty of stories like that, but there are also sweeter stories about love and soulmates and following one's destiny. And this is one of those stories. Well, kind of. Today's episode is about Pygmalion and the love of his life, Galatea. But before we begin, there's one thing you should know. Galatea wasn't like other girls. In fact, she wasn't even like other humans. She was, how shall I put this?
She was a statue made of stone.
Oh, hi, Oracle. Didn't see you there. Yes, she was a statue, which, as you can probably guess, is a little strange considering.
Statues are not actual people. They are not alive.
Exactly. So this is not your typical love story.
Critics will argue that the myth of Pygmalion is more a reflection of man's ego than anything else.
Okay. Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves, okay? Our story begins with Pygmalion, a famous artist on the island of Cyprus. And while Pygmalion worked with many different mediums, he could paint, he could draw, stuff like that, he was best known for his beautiful, lifelike sculptures and statues. Now, to make these sculptures, he would hire women to sit and model for him throughout the workday. And even though this was a necessary part of his job, he found these women to be rather annoying. All day long, they would gossip and bore him with trivial matters. And Pygmalion was a serious man.
He fell in love with a statue. How serious can he be?
I guess that's a fair point, but before that happened, he was rather serious. I think it's fair to call him grumpy, maybe even cantankerous or persnickety. But I like to think that he was just really, really, really focused on his work. He was an artiste, as they say, and the models he hired tended to not take his art as seriously as he did. He even caught one rolling her eyes at his stern looks one day. Pygmalion didn't have time for such silliness. He had important things to do, after all.
According to a study conducted by Northwestern University, highly creative individuals are generally more easily distracted than the average person.
Well, Pygmalion would look at the model and then begin sculpting, carving the rock and stone into a perfect likeness of the woman modeling for him. But this was a slow process and required a lot of patience from the models. They had to stand perfectly still for a long time. Impatience is understandable. But eventually, Pygmalion thought he had found the perfect model. She was young, beautiful, and almost painfully quiet. She hardly ever said a thing. Just what the sculptor wanted. But over time, Pygmalion himself became distracted by the woman's quietness. She never said anything at all, and she had this way of looking so intently at him while he worked that he sometimes started to blush. One day, as he was finishing up a particularly tricky part of the piece, the young woman looked at him and smiled slightly. Just a small, slight smile, but Pygmalion suddenly couldn't concentrate, and he tapped his hammer and chisel a little too hard, cracking the statue and all but ruining the entire sculpture.
Early Greek sculptures were mostly made of bronze and limestone, but eventually, most sculptors began to use marble instead. The statues look different today than they would have then. Marble was usually painted, so little to no white showed through.
Pygmalion was fed up, so he decided he would no longer have any models. He would make his statues from memory alone. And what's more, he vowed to never marry or have anything to do with women
ever again.
These women are nothing but frivolous, self-absorbed, emotional creatures. I will never waste my precious life doting on one of them. I have art to make.
What a completely unemotional stance to take.
Yeah, well, you have a point there. Pygmalion threw himself into his work. He spent every day from dawn till dusk toiling over his statues. It wasn't all about the money or the fame for him. In ancient Greece, statues were used on graves or stood in the sanctuaries of temples as gifts to the gods. Pygmalion saw his calling as a noble one, to create a portrait of someone that would bring them to mind even after they were gone. Or better yet, to honor the gods and bring blessings onto the people of Cyprus. While he worked tirelessly, he was disappointed with every single one of his finished pieces. Oh, sure, they were quality work, but they weren't perfect. He knew he could do better, and he vowed to do so. He wouldn't stop until he created the world's most beautiful, lifelike statue. And then, one day, he realized he'd done it. He had made the perfect statue. It was a woman, of course, all his pieces were. But this one was different. She was beautiful, with a kind face and a wise, knowing look in her ivory-colored eyes. Just like Pygmalion had intended, he had captured perfection. He was so pleased with his work that he moved the statue from his workshop to inside his house. He found that he didn't want to be separated from her. She had a calming presence when he was around her. Pygmalion liked catching her eye across the dinner table. Sure, she didn't say much, but hey, she was good company.
This is such a weird story.
Yeah, it's true. Pygmalion was falling in love with his statue.
"I can't help it," Pygmalion exclaimed. "I never thought I would fall in love at all, but I never thought I would meet such a perfect woman either. She is everything I ever wanted. She's smart and reserved and beautiful, and she, well, she reminds me of me."
And though Pygmalion had once sworn that he would never, ever fall in love, he treated his statue with the highest amount of reverence and care. He brought her clothes in case, well, you know, in case statues got cold.
Stone does not get cold. It feels cold to the touch. But this is simply because the material has a high thermal conductivity, meaning that it allows heat to flow through it quickly.
But that's not all. Pygmalion would bring the statue food to look at, I guess. He would read to the statue, and he brought her pieces of literature to read on her own and a mirror so she could gaze upon her own beauty.
Did you say this was a love story or a psychological thriller?
I know. It sounds weird, but hey, statue or no statue, Pygmalion loved her. He loved her so much that he decided to give her a name, Galatea.
In addition to being bizarre, this is also factually inaccurate. The statue was only referred to as the image until Jean-Jacques Rousseau's opera Pygmalion debuted in 1762.
Okay, true enough, but we're going to refer to her as Galatea throughout the remainder of the episode. It's just a little bit catchier than the image. Is that okay with you, Oracle?
I suppose.
Okay, where was I?
Weird, self-absorbed artist man falls in love with his own statue that we've reluctantly agreed to refer to as Galatea.
Right. So, Pygmalion was head over heels in love with his statue, Galatea, even though she didn't exactly bring much to the relationship. Maybe that's what he liked about her. For a man who had previously been critical of women, he truly made a fantastic partner and doted on Galatea every waking moment. He had never been happier, but he had also never been more pained. Every day, he saw the perfect woman, the perfect partner, and every day, he was forced to remember that she was made of stone. She would never return his love and affection. She would never be real. Of course, that's not exactly how the story played out. No one knew about Pygmalion's love interest. It's not as though he could leave the house with his rock wife, but that didn't stop the gods from paying attention. And while some of them thought the whole thing was rather amusing and sort of strange, there was one god who found the whole scene particularly heartwarming. Aphrodite.
Aphrodite is the goddess of love and beauty.
Aphrodite was shocked by how devoted Pygmalion had become to Galatea. She had never seen such care and affection. She was curious. Would Pygmalion be just as interested in Galatea if she were made of flesh and bone instead of ivory?
Doubtful.
Well, Aphrodite decided she wanted to find out. One day, while Pygmalion was in the temple praying to the gods, Aphrodite decided to pay him a visit.
Hello, Pygmalion,
she greeted him.
Goddess Aphrodite, it's really you.
Pygmalion was nervous. He had been praying to the goddess for months and hadn't received an answer. All he wanted was for Aphrodite to make Galatea human. He hoped the goddess of love would find it in her heart to bless him.
Tell me about your love,
Aphrodite asked.
She is the most beautiful creature in the world. Every time I look at her, it takes my breath away.
Would you love her just as much if she was human? Or do you think you would find yourself bored? After all, some things are better left in stone.
I could never be bored with her. I could never be frustrated or annoyed. My heart belongs to her. It is my biggest desire to hold her in my arms and have her as my human wife.
Aphrodite decided to give it a chance. After all, she had nothing to lose.
Give your love a kiss when you return,
she said, and vanished into thin air. Pygmalion was confused by Aphrodite's abrupt departure and hurried home as fast as he could. Galatea was right where he had left her.
Obviously.
And he quickly embraced her and kissed her on the mouth. To his shock and delight, he felt heat begin to radiate up and down the statue's body. The firmness of the ivory began to soften into flesh. The hard lips he had become so used to kissing turned soft. He listened as Galatea took her first breath, and then he pulled away and opened his eyes. It was a miracle. Galatea was alive and just as beautiful, maybe even more so than she had been in stone.
Pygmalion?
She whispered.
Is that you?
Yes, it is, my darling. Are you okay? Do you need anything?
She shook her head slowly.
What has happened?
Goddess Aphrodite has made you human. We can spend our days together as husband and wife. If you'll have me, that is.
He looked at Galatea hopefully.
Of course I will.
It seemed a true miracle had occurred. Aphrodite had turned Galatea into a human, and Pygmalion was just as in love as he was previously. And he had the added benefit of being loved in return. The two got married on a cool fall day. The entire town was invited. Pygmalion and Galatea decided not to tell anyone about the uniqueness of their situation and instead told everyone that Galatea was a visitor from out of town. Still, people were shocked by how Pygmalion had transformed from a grumpy loner to a loving and warm husband. It really was miraculous. And although the couple faced their share of challenges over the years, they pretty much did get their fairy tale ending and lived happily ever after. They had a son, Paphos, and spent many joyful years together. And through it all, they never stopped praying and thanking the goddess Aphrodite. Without her, none of this would have been possible. Because of her blessing, this love story has become one of the most popular Greek myths of all time. So, what do you think, Oracle? Have you changed your mind yet? I mean, come on, it is kind of romantic. I mean, he loved the statue so much the gods chose to bring it to life.
I do not like this story. It seems highly improbable and very self-absorbed. And there were no snakes.
Well, you're right about the snake part, but others might have to disagree with you about the quality of the love story. The tale of Pygmalion and Galatea has been retold and repackaged throughout the arts for centuries. It's been the topic of plays and operas and films for decades. In fact, there is a famous musical called My Fair Lady that's basically a modern adaptation of the tale. So you see, Oracle, people love love, no matter how strange it is.
I suppose I can't argue with that.
Freaking out.
That's it for this week's Greek Myth, but not the end of the show. We have a special treat for our listeners coming up right now. An excerpt from the upcoming book, Daughter of the Deep, by Rick Riordan.
It's freaking out.
To be clear, this is an ad, but it's also the first chapter of the book. Though the excerpt is for everyone, the book is best for readers 10 and up. Check out the book at bit.ly/greekingdod. That's bit.ly/greekingdod.